victory. It's a seven-letter word that I would suggest this morning means so much to every one of us. It's something that we can probably all get behind. I don't think there's anybody here in this building, listening online, who would want to be struggling, to be left behind, to feel defeated. I think everybody can buy into victory. Victory will look differently for everyone. If you're a football fan, then victory for your favourite team in a cup or in a Premier League or in a league and they win it, that's victory for you. Perhaps for other teams it might be avoiding relegation, that's victory. Perhaps victory for you this morning may be getting over an illness, something that perhaps has kept you really struggling for a long period of time. Victory for you may look like having better relationships with some of your family members or a better marriage. For some of you this morning, victory may be getting out of debt. Victory for you this morning may be overcoming addiction. It could be anything. It could even be that victory for you might be getting off the couch, getting out of your house and going for a walk, eating healthier. There's so many things and so many areas in our lives where perhaps at different times you and I need victory. Some of the victories that we have will be small. May seem at times insignificant, but they're not. They're important. Other times, there may be victories that are massive, and they actually change the course of your life. Big or small, victories are important. Because victories help us to see that there is hope. Help us to see that there is something more than what we've just experienced. That there's something better, that over the horizon, things could actually be better. Victory is something that I'm sure we can all buy into. I'm sure this morning it's something that we would all desire. If you're an athlete, you don't go into training in order to lose, do you? I'm guessing if you're an athlete, you go into training in order to win, not to finish second, not to finish in the middle of the pack, not just to kind of be there at the end, but to win. If you were to apply for a job or a promotion, you don't do it in order to finish second or for someone to just say, well, there, well done, you good effort. You do it because you want it. Victory is about having freedom. Victory is about living the way that God intended you to live. But I'm sure that we can probably all attest to this morning that victory does not always come without its challenges. Doesn't come without its perseverance. Sometimes we need to really work hard. We need to keep persevering. It's often a battle. We will face trials. We will face challenges in order to experience victory and to encounter freedom. It will likely come at some kind of cost to you and to me. Now, victory is not a dirty word. It's a good word. It's not an arrogant word. It's not prideful. It's not wrong to want to be living in a better way of life, to live a better fulfilled life. And after all, victory is God's, and victory is something that God has given. It's his idea. John 10 verse 10 says, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. Full life equals victory for us. God wants each one of us to live in victory. To have that victory mindset, to believe that God has got good things for us. Over the last 2 weeks in the series that we entitled Victory, we looked at some of the keys to victory. In the first week, we looked at Palm Sunday, and we looked at Jesus' procession into Jerusalem. And that procession was one of victory. It started, and victory starts with prayers. As Jesus walked into, rode on a donkey, into Jerusalem. People sang Hosanna, they raised the palm branches, they put cloaks on the road. The first key for us was to know is that actually praise is the stepping stone to our victory. We start with praise. Then we looked at the fact that the importance of focusing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. How often, when we're going through challenges, things where we feel that we're struggling and we want to see victory over, but we don't focus our eyes on Jesus, we end up focusing our eyes on the situation, particularly when it's been something that's been happening for a long, long time. But Jesus says he wants us to focus our eyes on him for victory. And then the third thing we looked at during that first week was the fact that victory perhaps will look different to what you think it should look like. Victory may look different. For the Jews of the day, they thought that Jesus would be a political leader. They thought he would be a warrior. They thought that he would lead them out of the oppression that they were facing from the Roman Empire. But Jesus didn't come in that way. Jesus came as a savior of the soul, of the person. Your victory, my victories, may come in a different way to what we expect. Then last week, we looked at the empty tomb. We asked ourselves a question. When we look at the tomb, do we see life or do we see death? For the disciples, for Mary Magdalene, for Peter and for John, when they went there first and they saw the empty tomb, Mary said, "Where are they taking you? Do you think that he risen from the dead?" She thought they'd taken his body away. Peter and John were a bit perplexed. They didn't know what to think. They saw the tomb as being something that represented death, but the tomb actually represented life. We discovered also that things at times can look dead in our life before victory comes. We learn that God's timing is perfect. And that actually one of the most important keys of all is victory comes and can only come because of Jesus rising from the dead, because of his resurrection. Without Jesus rising from the dead, victory is not possible. Lasting victory is not possible. So there's a quick overview, but to finish the series today, we want to finish the series by asking a question. And the question is this: if you're making notes, you might want to write this down. How do we, as people, as believers, continue to walk in victory? How do you and I continue to walk in victory? If we know that victory has been accomplished through Jesus, how can we walk in victory in every single area of our lives? If you have your Bible, you want to turn with me to this one famous verse this morning from Galatians 5 and verse 1. Galatians 5 verse 1. I'm reading this out of the New Living Translation.
And it says these words.
So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free. And don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. I'll say that one more time. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Most of you here this morning would know me fairly well. And if you've been in church in the last kind of 18 months or so, you've heard me talk a couple of times about something that I've been going through in my health. And one of the things I think I mentioned a while ago was the fact that I had high cholesterol. It came as a slight shock to me, but in some other ways, it probably didn't with the way that I love cheese, I love chocolate, I love fizzy drinks. That's probably not a great thing for cholesterol. And time caught up with me, I think. Those things that perhaps I thought were fine, when I had some tests, they obviously weren't fine. I guess when I got told that, I had two choices. Like we all do, we have choices, don't we? When a doctor says something wrong, when we come to different circumstances in life, we sometimes have choices, don't we? I had a choice that either I could continue to eat the way that I was, enjoying those things, and perhaps be a little bit of a ticking time bomb for something, or I could choose to battle. I chose to battle. Over 18 months, I lost about 7.5 in weight. I started to eat better. It wasn't always easy, if I'm honest, particularly over Christmas, birthday, it wasn't easy. Sometimes at night it wasn't easy if I really, really wanted something. But I battled, and then last week, with some tests just to see how it was going, I had victory. My levels had come down. Levels have come down. I felt, wow, that's a victory. That's great. I knew it was God who'd help me to do that because I also know my wife knows how hard it is sometimes when I really want to eat ham and cheese and pickle sandwiches, when I really just want some chocolate, when I really just want some fizzy. It might be different for you guys, there might be different things. But I got the victory. But that's not where it stops. You see, what am I going to do now that level has come back to normal? Am I going to continue on the good way of eating and the good way of just trying to eat healthily? Or am I going to go back to where I thought I was? Eating chocolate all the time, eating cheese all the time. I have a choice. It's going to continue the battle. And I'm making the choice to continue to be healthy in my eating. We all have a choice. You see, if I chose to go back to the other way of eating, it wouldn't be long, I tell you, until that cholesterol rose again. It's a lot easier for it to go up than it is to go down. It can be a very quick thing. And it gets harder as you get older. When it comes to victory in your life or in areas of your life, maybe getting an answer to prayer, seeing a miracle being performed, seeing a situation going from death to life, you and I need to realise this morning that that's not the final destination. It's actually only the beginning. Have you ever found yourself in a position where God has helped you to gain a victory in a certain area of your life, only for you after a period of time to return to your old ways, to think that you're okay and you can handle this? Perhaps you've tried to just think, oh, well, I'll just do it on my own, I'm strong enough. But then you find that you go back to those old ways. And actually, it's so easy to do, isn't it? It's a battle, you see, this morning, that even when we've had victory, and God's given us victory, it's a battle we need to continue to wage war. To continue not to think that that's going to be okay with no effort, but with God's help, we need to continue to battle. So how do you and I continue to sustain the victory that we've received because of Jesus' resurrection? So that we don't backtrack to our old ways. Because I'm sure we've all done that. We've all had moments where we've slipped back into old ways for whatever reason. Is it even possible for us to continue to live in victory? Well, yes, it is. That's the really good news. But it will take effort on your part. It will take partnership with Jesus to sustain any victory that you've got. I believe this morning there are three key things. Three key things that we need to take on board in order for us to sustain victory. The first one is this, if you're making notes. Understand your authority. Understand your authority. After we receive the initial victory, we often don't continue to live in victory because we sometimes forget the authority that we hold as believers in Jesus because of what Christ has accomplished. We know it with our head. I often call that the head knowledge, you know, with our head, that sometimes we don't know with our heart, having that heart experience. And as we know, the longest journey in the world is from a head knowledge to a heart experience, getting from there to there, not just knowing it by word, but knowing it in your heart and experiencing it, is a massive thing. We know the authority that we have, but believing that often can be a different thing. See, our default setting, our human nature, is to want to go back to the old way of living. Sometimes that feels comfortable. And even after we've been transformed, we're continually in that battle. Now, you are brave people this morning, I'm sure. You would know this, but let me remind you. The enemy is out there to distract you. The enemy is out there to stop you from living in freedom. The freedom that's already been paid for. He wants you tied up, chained up, going back continually to the old way of life. He will seek to tell you that your sinful nature is the thing that you know best, and actually it's always going to be there, it's always going to cause you trouble, so why not just live in there and not fight? Sometimes we can experience, even when we experience a little bit of glimpse of victory, we then end up falling back, and every time we do that, it can make things harder and harder, because we think, will we ever get to a place where we're living in full victory? It leaves us feeling kind of weak and thinking, can this ever change? But our reading from Galatians 5 verse 1, if we read it again, says this: so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Jesus' victory over sin and over death is not partial. It is complete. It is for everyone, and it is for all time. It's not like Jesus' sacrifice was only good for a little bit of time, like in the Old Testament with the sacrifices that were made by the priests, and it lasted for a little bit of time, but ended up keeping having to be done in order to cover our sin. No, Jesus' sacrifice was perfect, it was complete. It wasn't just for a season, it was for all time and for everyone. And that is good news for you, and that's good news for me today. We no longer have to be enslaved and entangled by slavery. We can live in freedom. We need to make sure we stay free. We are not weak people who can't stomach the fight. With Jesus, with the Spirit in us, we are strong people that can overcome. Can overcome everything. I can overcome challenges, can overcome temptations, can overcome seemingly impossible situations. Why? Because of Jesus. Romans 8:37 says, tells us, despite the challenges, the trials and the temptations of life, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. But thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I need to understand this morning that we've been given a measure of authority as believers. This is not authority, it's not something you could earn, but it's something that is given. Because you and I are children of God. This authority is a shared authority that Jesus commissioned us with to be his hands and his feet and his mouthpiece. The name of Jesus carries life-changing power and victory. Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, it is living by God's power. You and I today can live by God's power, the authority that he has given us. This authority and power enables us to firstly fight against the enemy's schemes. Ephesians 3 verse 10 to 12 says, be strong in the Lord in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armour so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the enemy. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. The traps, the feelings of inadequacy, the belief or the lies that we feel that we're not good enough, or that we know best, the pull of sin, it is all not true, and it's something that we can come against because of Jesus. We can stand against it because of Jesus. Secondly, we are, the authority and power enables us to proclaim victory to the world. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. We are to be ambassadors for Christ. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Jesus talks about us being his believers, being able to do greater things than he's done. That is something that's a promise that we can do greater things because of Jesus and his power by the Spirit in us. Proclaiming and testifying of Jesus' victory to the world keeps it victory at the forefront of our minds. And it keeps us on the side of victory. And as I said a little earlier, I don't know about you, but I want to be a person who lives in victory. I don't want to be defeatist in my attitudes. I want to know what I believe, what the Bible says, and I want that to become a living reality. And my prayer for you is that you want that to be a living reality for you too. Victory is possible. It's the freedom that Christ has set you free. So no longer be enslaved to the things of this world. Making disciples is the third thing. We're called to make disciples. And you know these verses really well, I'm sure. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's Jesus speaking. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Making disciples. That's what we are called to do. We've been given authority and been given the power by Jesus to be those effective witnesses. He has given us this commission. Will we do it? Second thing we can draw from how we can live in victory continuously is win the battle of our minds. Win the battle of our minds. The mind is the key battle. It's the most powerful of organs. It's where we think, where we dwell, where we make decisions, the good decisions and the bad ones as well. If we can win the battle with our minds, then we go some way towards living in victory. Not just in one area of our lives, but in all areas of our lives. Romans 12 verse 2 says it like this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and is pleasing and is perfect. What we allow on a daily basis into our eyes, through our eyes and through our ears, plays a massive role in the battle of our minds. If we decide to fill our things, fill our lives and our minds and our with things that are contrary to what God says is good, then we shouldn't be surprised if we struggle. We shouldn't be surprised if we still find ourselves trapped in our situations. We need to live in victory. We need to watch what we hear or watch what we think and be careful about what we listen to. Whether it be temptations, whether it be attitudes or belief systems, sometimes it can even be that we think about the situations that we're going through to the point where we get so fearful that we imprison ourselves. We get so fearful. But let's remember this thing, that you can live in victory with Christ's help. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. Jesus paid the greatest price so that your old could be transformed to new. You and I are in a battle, not against humanity, but against your enemy, the devil, who prowls around like looking to see who he can devour. He won't play fair. He'll do everything at his disposal to take you down. If we want to sustain a victorious way of living, then we've got to be aware of those tactics and steer clear of those things that are obvious. Those things that are obvious. Don't put ourselves in places where we know that it might be a problem for us. We need to be aware of his tactics, but we don't need to fear, we just need to prepare ourselves for war. Set our minds on those things of standing against the enemy's schemes. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 and 5 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Win the battle for your mind, and then we are on the way to victory. I don't mind this morning whether you have been struggling with something for 20 years or whether you've been struggling with something for 5 minutes. The answer is the same. Win the battle for your mind. Win the battle for your mind by focusing your eyes on Jesus. And the third one kind of comes in with this whole thing with winning the battle for your mind. The third and final thing I want to say today is walking by the Spirit. And those two go hand in hand, winning the battle for our minds and walking by the Spirit go hand in hand because they're about relationship with Jesus. Galatians 5 verse 16 in that same chapter says, so I say walk by the Spirit. That's what Paul was saying to the church in Galatia. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That's not to say that every issue we're having, every challenge is a sinful thing. But that so easily entangles. What does it mean for us to walk by the Spirit? Well, it simply means to stay in connection with the Spirit. That means that we read God's Word daily. That means we pray to God at every opportunity. Walking by the Spirit is filling yourself so much with God that nothing else really matters. Now trust me, family is important to God. Kids are important to God. You having a job and enjoying life is important, but it's nothing as important as spending time with Jesus. Allowing him to lead and guide us through. We don't have to be a lone ranger. We don't have to think that we need to know all the answers. We don't need to be proud. We need to be honest. We need to be open. We don't need to just go to God when we need him. But we need to go to God because we love him. And because we want to just spend time with him. We need to make sure we don't compromise our faith, but we need to walk by the Spirit, knowing that we need Jesus every single moment. It's about understanding that we have limitations. However great we think that we might be, however strong we think we might be, we need Jesus. Because eventually, if we do things in our own strength, we will fail. And I can guarantee that every single person in this room, including myself, has tried that with very, very, very limited success. It might be for a season, it might be for a week, it might be for a day. But when we try to do things on our own, it soon catches up with us. If we want to walk in step with him, if we honestly want to do that, we won't go far wrong in being able to live in victory. The trouble is often we're the ones that complicate things. Let's remind all of us today, if we truly belong to Jesus, if he really is your everything, then the things of the world don't really matter. They are, after all, in conflict with the things of God. Galatians 5:17 says it this way, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. In Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's make a choice today. If you're online watching this or if you're in the building, let's make a choice today to walk in step with the Spirit wholeheartedly, without compromise, because half measures will never work. We can't have one foot with Jesus and one foot going, well, I like living in this way, in this part of my life in the world. It doesn't work. If you want to experience lasting victory, it's going to take time and it's going to take effort, and we're going to have to keep battling. Don't do that on your own. Do that with Christ. Do that with the Spirit living inside of you. Because of Jesus, because of his resurrection, you can have victory. So in conclusion, I conclude with these words. Victory is something that's possible for everyone. Jesus died and rose from the dead so that you might have victory in whatever circumstance you find yourself in. Whether massive, whether small, whether it's an issue with your finances, whether it's in a relationship, in your health, over an addiction, Jesus died and rose again so you might find victory. Victory that is continual, victory that changes your life, just not for a moment, but for the rest of your life. The biggest victory we could ever receive is finding eternal life through accepting what Jesus has done for us. But God wants to see you living victory in every area of your life, daily. For some of us, victory can be fleeting. It's almost like an emotional high that you experience, but then your sinful nature sucks you back in. The fears overwhelm you. You think you can do it on your own or any number of other reasons. But it doesn't have to be like that. You can live in victory. And as I said, whether you've been stuck in something or in a situation for 20 years or 5 minutes, victory can be yours. It's just how we focus. We need to understand that we can live in victory. We have to understand our authority that Christ has given us and the power that works in us. We have to win the battle for our minds and make that one of the number one battles. And we need to walk by the Spirit. Victory, it is something that is possible. Let's fight and battle and not let the enemy, the world or ourselves stop us from living in what Jesus fought so hard to obtain for you. Victory is possible in Jesus. Let's pray together, shall we?